Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Halusa Nation.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, tonight we're going to welcome Danielle Seawalker, and she's Lakota from the Standing Rock Sioux Nation, and we're also going to talk about her powerful All My Relations art exhibit, lifting up the Native voices and creativity and community. And then we'll be joined, we're joined with Wendy Pilot with our Sacred Animal Updates, bringing us important teachings, connections, and stories that honor our relatives in the natural world. So I just want to get Danielle on and say a big hello and big peeny geeky. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for coming on Native Roots Radio.
Thanks for having me. I'm Patiwashimi Takuyapi, Daniel Seawalker, Amachiapi, Mahung Papa Lakota, Na'ocheti Shakuini Mahata, Denver, Colorado, Elwati. Hey everyone, it's Danielle Seawalker here. I am a Hung Papa Lakota from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, but I currently live, work, and play in Denver, Colorado. And I'm so excited to be able to show some of my artwork here in Minneapolis at All My Relations Arts.
Yeah, a big opening April 10th in All My Relations Arts at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And the exhibit will be open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And just stop in and get a cup of coffee at the powwow grounds and come in and see your art. Your art, very inspiring. I really loved it. It wasn't totally put together today when I came by, but I really loved it and recognized some of the people that you painted. Talk a little bit about your art and where that comes from.
Yeah, I have been working on a women's portrait series. There's some men sprinkled in there as well, as you saw today. It's called the Braided Women series, and it was based on a dream I had of a woman who was following me in my dream, and I could tell she was from a different time, maybe an ancestor. She was wearing this full elk tooth dress, and but when I turned around, I would ask her, like, why are you following me, or try to talk to her. It was, she wouldn't speak to me. Her face was a blur except for one distinct eye. And so, if you come in and check out this show, you'll notice there's a theme among many of the portraits where, it's a very matted sort of, two-dimensional flat face, but there's one very distinct eye that is, painted, the realism part of the painting. And the eye kind of sets the mood, sets the tone of what's happening in the painting, the story that's being told, etc. So this particular show at All My Relations is called Unchi Said So, and it's kind of inspired by, all the great elder women and grandmas and aunties in my life who told me what, you know, different stories and said so, I suppose. And so it's kind of a really fun sort of nostalgic show that's kind of based around that.
That's awesome. And it's starting April 10th, and then it runs. You have a good run, and I have it in front of me. Yeah. It's going for at least a month.
Yeah, it'll be open through June 9th. It closes June 9th, so a couple months.
Yeah, definitely. And then we have the opening this Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And it's always fun to go and check out the art. And also, Wendy, it's also really cool to meet the artist. And my wife here is an artist, too. So that's awesome. And it's just great that we're talking about art today and other things other than what's happening politically. And so I really Danielle and Wendy, I really appreciate this opportunity to do so.
Yeah, Danielle, what kind of medium do you use? Acrylic, watercolor, oil?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's mostly acrylic, and I mix in and do aerosol as well. And oil stick is kind of the main mediums of these paintings that you'll see. And then I'm also a muralist. I'm hoping to do some little bit of street art while I'm here in Minneapolis as well with some friends.
Really nice. That's really fun and interesting. Do you use, is your art on canvases or wood or what kind of?
Yeah, for this show, the majority of them are on canvases. I have a couple hand drums that are on buffalo rawhide.
Nice.
Yeah. Beautiful. I saw one of those that you hand painted that must have took forever to do. It was so, they're little squares. Can you talk just a little bit about that? It's almost like a mini star blanket kind of design.
Yeah, it was inspired by a star quill.
Oh, you're frozen. I hope you come back. Uh-oh. Frozen. Okay.
Yeah. Well, again, it's at 1414 East Franklin Avenue, and that's All My Relations Art. And the opening is going to be April 10th at All My Relations Arts. You know, this is a project of Native American Community Development Institute, so we're really happy about that.
I'm excited to go and check it out. I love looking at other people's art. And when I look at other people's art, it inspires me to paint more or to feel like inspired to paint and to do what I like to do too. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing her art.
Yeah. So. And she's from Colorado, Denver, but she's Lakota from Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. One of the things too, I think is really important. I asked her about this too. So she's going to have prints there too, because let me tell you, the paintings, a lot of the paintings are as big as this wall.
Yeah.
And I really, really like when I see stuff like that, mm-hmm. that is that big. And it just amazed me when I sit there of course the paintings will be for sale, and mm-hmm. they'll have cards and things like that.
Oh, she's back.
Hey, you're back. Welcome back.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I guess my internet shut off on my computer. I'm out of a hotel room right now, so I guess the Wi-Fi here maybe isn't the best, but I'm on my phone.
Yeah, definitely. We're just saying that you're
going to
have...
I hope that's okay.
No, we're good. And that's thank goodness that I have Wendy here to bounce off about this, because I'd be saying a lot.
I'm so sorry.
No problem. We were just talking about that you're going to have cards and prints too, and all this art's going to be for sale.
Yeah. A couple of the pieces I think are already spoken for, which is cool. But yeah, I'll have some prints available as well. And of course, on my website, if there's something you don't see in person, I have things available on my website as well, which is cwalker.com. My last name, seewalker.com.
Well, it's amazing too. I was looking at your website, and you bead also. You do all kinds of different kinds of art. So again, say your website again, because there's beautiful art on there, not just what we're going to be seeing in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's C Walker, S as in Sam, E Walker.com. That's my last name, Danielle C Walker. And so yeah, my website has a lot of different kind of samplings of the different types of artwork I have done in the past, things I'm doing, working on, from beadwork to quill work to a lot of murals, etc. So I would encourage anyone to check it out. And also my Instagram, which has pretty much a lot more of my artwork on there. It's kind of the main place where I post a lot of what's going on, is cwalker_art.
Well, we're going to take a break here in a minute. And Danielle, can you stick with us? We want to talk a little bit more about your art and a lot about this upcoming event. And so we get really excited, and I'm glad Wendy can come on with me, because she's our family artist here. Well, I guess our daughters are artists too. I'm the one with the stick men or stick people. I don't know if that's appropriate. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We're going to be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Hey, 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 hey. our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we are here with Daniel Seawalker and Wendy Pilot, and we're talking art, and I think that's really a good segue to be able to do, especially what's going on nationally. And we know we break out in hives and we talk a lot of politics, but we do that here, and it's a great break to have Daniel here and talk about the upcoming event at All My Relations Art. So it's really excited. Thank you again, Daniel, for being on. It's always really cool. One of the questions I wanted to ask you, and this is kind of like a weird question, but how long have you been doing art? And I guess you've always been an artist, like you've always been a Dakota, you know. So
yeah,
how long have you been doing it?
Yeah, that's a great question. A question I get asked a lot. I've been creating, since forever, since I can ever remember. I've always been a very creative kid. My dad was the very first artist I ever knew existed. And I still carry and keep many of his pieces up and surrounding me. I have always created, like I mentioned, but I haven't publicly started showing my artwork until 2020. And that's when I did a lot of very first. I wrote my first book, I created my very first mural, and I started putting my work into exhibitions and having shows. And that was all in 6 years ago.
So you did answer Wendy's question about what kind of format you do use, what kind of paints do you use?
Yeah, acrylic mostly. Yep.
Yeah. So I know, like, for me, like, I'll paint a lot and have a lot of paintings, like, in my art room. I have a lot of stuff hanging up. Do you have a particular piece that's in your show right now that, like, resonates with you more than others? Or you have a feeling like, I can't sell that piece feeling?
Yeah, I feel like all my pieces are like that. They're sort of an extension of me. I have always, like, created art it's sort of my diary in ways that where I can't express things in words or in any other way. The way I can express how I'm feeling, thinking, an experience I had, a story I was told, is always through my artwork. And so I think a lot of my work is very much storytelling. There's one piece that's in the show that it's pretty special to me is it's called Indians Can Be Gingers. We call them Jindians. And it's
No, I just chuckled. I like the name.
Oh, and it's because I have a son who was born a ginger. And I remember when he was born, I remember thinking, like, is this my child? Like, what the heck? but no, and he's a spitting image of me. He just has this bright fiery red hair. And it was always told by my grandma that his grandpa had red hair. So it kind of came out in the genes. But he, as a kid, as a young boy, would always question his identity and be like, I'm not Indian, because he'd look around at all his cousins, his brother, and he would be like, I don't look like any of them. And so I always had to teach him, about genetics and DNA and all that stuff. But I always would just call him my ginger Indian.
Oh, that's so cute. I had a blonde hair, like white blonde hair, until I was 7, but we don't talk about that much on the radio, but I did. It's just crazy.
Yeah. So it's, you know, good conversations to have. And I think it's very relatable to a lot of folks. There's a woman actually interested in acquiring that piece, because she struggled as a girl, as a biracial native as well, and just kind of always struggled with her identity and not being Indian enough, not looking Indian enough, but not being white enough, and this whole identity crisis that I think a lot of natives have, as we are navigating kind of the climate we're in as well.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, were you surprised when I recognized a couple of your paintings there, of the people?
I was. Yeah, there. I get really inspired by old photographs, especially of Lakota relatives and elders and ancestors of the past. I really do. I love going to like the Library of Congress in D.C. I love going to the National Archives and just looking through old photos of our people and just really looking at their expressions or what they were thinking, what they were wearing. And I get inspired and sometimes try to recreate my sort of, portrait of like what I'm looking at and kind of recreating it in my way, in my interpretation. And I did one of, you mentioned Fool's Crow, and there was an elder, and I did sort of two renditions of him in this particular show, which I was like pretty humbled that you recognized it.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then I had to go because, you know, I have a good memory, but it's short. I had to go talk to one of the bell courts, Clyde's son, and get the name, because it was like, oh, geez, I can't remember the name. But that's that sometimers I'm getting now, Wendy.
Do you have where do you usually work? Do you have like an art studio, or do you have a special place that you?
Yeah, I have a studio in downtown Denver. I'm based in Denver. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. I used to work out of my home, and then I kind of outgrew my space at home, and also just realized I'd like to have a separate like work-life balance in terms of being able to like stop and go back home and instead of having it sort of all blurred together. But there's pros and cons of it all. I do miss being able to just wake up at 2 a.m. if I have this great idea and, you know, go and start painting from home. But at the same time, you know, it's healthy to kind of have those breaks.
Yeah, oh yeah, it definitely
is. And I know, like, for me, this is a hard one for me. How do you know a piece is finished? Like, how do you know it's done?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's just like a feeling, or I step back and look, and then I'm like, yep, this is it. Because sometimes I feel like if I keep noodling at it more and more, it ain't gonna work out. So I think I've learned to just put a cap on it, and when I have that kind of gut feeling for myself, and that's it. Yeah.
Wow, that was a great question.
I have like a million questions. Oh, do you good. Like, do you sketch things out first, or do you just go ahead with the paints?
When it comes to my studio practice and like the artwork, like for instance, the stuff that you'll see at All My Relations, that is much more of free form, free flow. I don't prepare anything. I just kind of go for it in the moment. When I'm doing murals or street art, it's much more calculated. There's a lot more math involved in planning and sketching and all of that. So it just really depends on kind of what projects I'm working on. But my studio work is much more free form, and which I like it that way, because it's kind of my medicine, and I can just, there's no rules. I can just go at it in any way that I want. No planning or anything.
Yeah. Definitely.
Wow, great questions, Wen.
Well, because I paint. So yes. This is all the things that I feel. This is all the That's things right.
I
want
to know. One, I guess. I was
like, do you feel this way?
Yeah. So, hard to sell.
No, I know, like when sometimes when I'm painting, I'll have some music on, and I just get like lost in the piece, and I really like lose like literally like track of time. Like there was one night Robert came in, he knocked on my my little art room, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm painting." And he was like, "It's 4 o'clock in the morning," and I'm like, what? But yeah. I kind of just like lose it all. Does that happen to you as well?
Oh yeah, definitely. For me, it's I listen to audiobooks or podcasts versus music, although sometimes I'm in the mood for music too, but absolutely, I can totally get lost.
Yeah,
lose track of time.
I know, I have another
no question. That's good.
Are there like a color palette that you prefer, or colors that you use over and over, or are you just like an open book as far as that goes?
Yeah, I love color. I'm a huge colorist. So in terms of when you ask the question about planning, sometimes it's not about the image or the composition or the subject that I'm painting. I'll you know, just be out living my life and see colors in the world. And I get really inspired by pairings of colors. And then that will lead the next piece I'll do is the color palette. So, you know, for instance, there's some colors where they're meh, you know, standalone. They're not that exciting, but then when it gets paired next to another color or two, something magic happens in terms of like these palettes that are paired. So I love experimenting with colors. A lot of times colors that don't typically go together. I love bright colors. I love neon. You'll notice at this show, I have not only neon colored paintings, but also actual neon fabricated lights and pieces that I had done for the show as well. So I love lots of color. Color is really inspirational for me.
Well, first of all, I got to thank you, Danielle Seawalker, coming on, and it's going to be a powerful exhibit at All My Relations Art starting April 10th. And I want to thank Wendy, too, for the great questions. I got to write those down in case you're not on the show. Those were great questions.
Thank you both. Appreciate
you. Yeah. So, again, it's at 1414 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis. And it's going to be April 10th, and Be There or Be Square will be there.
Other times? Or
well, it'll be 6 to 8 on the opening. Thank you for that. Okay. Again.
6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Meet the artist, uh-huh. buy some prints, buy those paintings. Nice. I saw you had some neon art, too, that I was kind of looking over. That's going to be really exciting. I want to just say a big thank you, a big peeny geegy for being on our show. Right on.
Appreciate
we'll
it.
See you. Well, that was really cool. When
I love asking artists about those questions because, you know, like some people sketch first and some people, it's just like everybody has like their own kind of, you know.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Like their style.
Yeah.
You know, their own style. So it always, it's always good to like learn new things and get new ideas from different artists and say, oh, maybe I'll try that. Or I've never tried those colors before. Let me try those colors. Like I'm painting a picture right now of our house.
Yeah.
It's a springtime picture with our pollinator garden in the front. And I'm not happy with the colors that I picked for the flowers. So I think I'm going to just, like, I have new colors in my mind that I just want to go over and do it. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, well, I got to say, great interview. And it'll be great to go out there for the exhibit, Wendy. Yeah. And then, hey, up next, we're going to be talking to Wendy. Coming in and talking about our sacred animal updates, and we really have an ask. So we're really excited to talk about this, and I know you're really excited to talk about this one.
I am.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Programming on KFAI is supported by Quit Partner. Quitting smoking or vaping is easier said than done. Quit Partner offers Minnesotans no-cost resources to quit nicotine, including patches, gum and lozenges, coaching, and digital support. More at quitpartnermn.com.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we are with our friends from Red Lake Nation College, and we're going to talk about a few things like Future Fest and career and transfer fair, and I want to introduce Nadine Bell, Sarah Butler, and Donna Council. Thank you, Big Peeny Geeky. Thank you to our three for being on. It's my honor to have you on, and I love your college. I've been there of quite a few times for events, and it's just a great place. So I'd really like to start out with Nadine and talk about informer the listeners about the college and all the great things that are happening there. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Great. All right. Thank you, Robert. Just making sure you can hear. Yes. Thank you for having us today. We're really excited to share not only information about the college, but an exciting event that we have coming up on April 14th. One of our main taglines at Red Lake Nation College is that we're a great place to start. Our main campus is up on the Red Lake Reservation in Red Lake. We have 414 students this last year. Wow. We've grown exponentially over the last couple of years, and we're really excited. We're one of the youngest TCUs in the country. As you know, there's 38 tribal colleges across the country that represent the vast majority of tribes. And we're really excited. We have 15 different tribes that are represented in our student body this year. About half of those students attend through distance education and attend here at our Minneapolis site. And we've been open since spring of 2024 here in downtown Minneapolis. We're located at 900 South 3rd Street, right across from U.S. Bank Stadium. Real convenient for transportation. We're on the metro line. We're also on the bus line. So we literally have a pathway to other institutions. So we're really well situated. One of the things I wanted to mention, we're really proud. We have 85 graduates that are going to walk across the stage next spring. Wow. And that we have grown leaps and bounds with our original graduating class here from Minneapolis about 4 years ago was 4 students. This year we have 31 students who will be getting their 2-year degree in associates in liberal education. One thing we're really proud of here at Red Lake is that we have transfer pathways established for most of our students to matriculate to all the Minnesota State schools. So like U of M, Twin Cities, Augsburg, Metro State, BSU, up Bemidji State University up north. So students can get a great start here, and then whatever they wanna do in their last 2 years, their third and fourth year, pick a college, choose a major, and get a 4-year degree.
You know, one of the cool things, I'm a former high school teacher for 30 years, and one of the cool things that you guys will, I don't know if you've experienced yet, but to have former students come back and teach and work with you. And there's another thing I wanted to bring up, too, is that there's a light rail that goes right past the Minneapolis office that makes it really accessible. And you guys are just doing great work. And I'm sorry if I interrupted you. You were on a roll, a good roll. Ho, wow.
Yeah, no, that's spot on. We're one stop up from Franklin. We're one stop away from, like I said, the Twin Cities. So we feel pretty well situated right in between there. Like I said, a literal pathway. Our average age student, and you know, we're a tribal college that represents a multi-generational student body. So we have students who are just starting off in college, even as high school students. They're post-secondary students, so they're still attending high school and they're going to college at the same time. So we have 17-year-olds, and this year we actually have a great-grandmother who's graduating with her family, and wow. She's 75. Mm-hmm. So wow. We really feel like we represent a reflection of our community, from the youth to elders, and they all learn from each other. And it's a great reciprocity in that learning environment. And I feel like that's one of the things that really make us unique, and the tribal wow. colleges in general.
That's beautiful. I wonder if, Sarah, do you want to talk about the student experience and the Future Fest maybe? Oh, wow.
Sure. Buju, my name is Sarah Butler. I'm from the Lakotere Reservation. I live here in the Twin Cities. I am the Transfer Pathway Specialist and Adjunct Faculty here at Red Lake College. We have been in the process of planning our event called Future Fest. And what that is, it's a career and transfer fair. So we're kind of ending the academic year. We finished fall semester. We're about to finish spring semester, but we're also beginning spring, the season spring. So this is a time for us to bring community into the doors, have colleges and universities, community resources, businesses attend here. This is going to be on April 14th from 10 to 2 p.m. And we also have our guest speaker, which is Donna Council. She's going to be talking about her book, Golden Brown Indian Girl. I think this is just like the environment here at Red Lake College is just, you know, basically we want to build community. And we encourage students to be here on site. We encourage students to have that kind of networking skills and the relationships with their advisors, with their peers, with their elders as well, and also with their instructors. If they are not here on campus or on site or even up north at the main site, we encourage them through Zoom. Turn your camera on. That's another way for them to actually build community and just, you know, put their profile picture in their account settings. So that's just something that we always like to have that kind of support system for our students here on campus.
Well, it's so important. And one of the things that I'm old, so I remember what those buildings look like. I used to go to Dome Souvenirs Plus before I'd go to the Dome and buy some souvenirs. And what you guys have done to that beautiful building. Do you suggest parents to show up? And is there a special time that they can come in and check it out? Because it is such a beautiful community and building.
Yes, students and their parents are encouraged to come anytime. They can call our admissions office and set an appointment, or we have walk-ins that come in. And like you said, like Sarah said, it's springtime, and a lot of students are looking for what their next steps are if they're graduating seniors. And it's never too early to look at your college opportunity. So even if you're a freshman, sophomore, or junior, we encourage you to come check us out.
That's awesome. And to the Future Fest Career and Transfer Fair is April 14th, 2026, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. with this great author here. We have Donna we're going to be talking to in just a second. And you'll be the speaker and people will be able to check out your book. But Donna, take a sip of some liquid here and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, thank you for having me. My name is Donna Council, like you had said. I'm Dakota and Lakota. And I had the privilege to be invited here at the college to speak about where my journey took me and how important it, you know, education is. And it took a long time for myself, because also too now, since I'm an elder, I got an opportunity to experience the hard times, all the way what happened to the current affairs here in the cities, and then hoping through seeing people that look like me and being able to have the students feel that they can be successful. And also working with the youth is really important. And I was a school social worker for many years, and I've always worked in some type of educational institutions. And I also, too, am a former product of the Indian boarding school, so I have that history also. And then seeing all the changes and hoping back then that I could make a change. But there was obstacles that, you know, got in the way, barriers, and never really finding the opportunity or to really support me as an Indian person to the point where I was searching and wondering and asking myself, how can I get this message to our youth? Because I believe that's, you know, our mission. We have to support the youth. And there's, like I said, there was no doors that would open for me. And I got that opportunity to work with high school students. And that also in the schools, I have noticed there's no curriculum. There's no books, there's no posters or nothing that look like the students, just what I've experienced. Mm. And the history of just healing, I mean, it comes all in one direction, you know, from birth till we go to our next journey. But in the meantime, how do we continue to educate our youth? Because I'm depending on them. I'm almost done with my journey. And so who's going to take that ball? And I see that the college, it makes me proud that I'm sitting here among these two ladies, because they also must got that feeling that they want to pursue and teaching our children. And something I'd like to share, that I'm also working with Boarding School Survivor, because I'm part of the Boarding School Survivors, and they're still beginning their healing. So yeah. Can you imagine we're trying to heal, and our youth, so it's so important, we got to grasp the youth, pull them together, and tell them and show them places where they can be successful. And that's where we got to really find places that's willing to open the doors, and we have to speak up for ourselves.
Yeah, well, we're speaking with Donna Council, and you're writing the book, Golden Brown Indian Girl, A Small Voice Gets Louder. And I'm here with Donna Council and Red Lake Nation, and we're going to take a quick break. We have to pay the bills. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh!
Oh!
Hey, welcome back. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're with our friends from Red Lake Nation College, and also author, Donna Council. And we're talking about an event that's coming up April 14th, 2026, and guest speaker from 10 to 2 at 11:30, Donna Council. And we're talking about your book and the things that that you've gone through in order to get to where you're at. And I'm really enjoying this conversation. You guys have a lot of spunk, and it comes across. So again, thank you so much for coming on. And Donna, let's finish our conversation here. This has been really, really, really cool talking about the book and what your path has been to get to this point to help our community and our young ones. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Well, like I mentioned earlier, the boarding school, and that's another story that's for another time, but from that journey came, and the support with my Teosh faith, that I was able to get that counseling and encouragement. And sometimes it wasn't always positive, but encouragement. And my uncle told me to go out and learn he said it was Washita way, and come back and maybe you can help our tribe. And very honest, you know, told him, I said, Uncle, I didn't want to come back because there was nothing there on my tribe. It was just the boarding school. And most of the land, you are aware of that there's nothing there that they put Indian people on. Mm-hmm. And I struggled with it all through my life and wondering how I'm going to be successful and to give my children a good path to go and also to be supportive and be proud of who they are. So I struggle with that the most because I've always got a lot of the stereotypes, a lot of the prejudice, and I had to fight with that because of who I was. And I heard all through my life and the journeys that I went through, I didn't have anybody to say, well, this is what the boarding school did. This is why you're here. And what was the outcome? So the first thing that I was already somewhat, fortune was already there for me because of the struggles, because I've seen my mom, I've seen my my relatives, how they're suffering. And I didn't want that for myself, and I didn't want that for my community, and most of all, not my children. And so he said education. So that I took that route. And I went to college. Again, the boarding school is just the 3 R's. And I have dyslexia, and I have a really hard time speaking and pronunciation. And that was also one of my embarrassments and being ashamed, and also being shamed because of that. And so I had to fight with that. And if I was struggling with that, because students were probably going through that experience. So I tried to gather all that information and all that feelings that I struggled and my shortcomings and put it down. But it wasn't supposed to come out as a book. That was something that was throwing out my feelings. Everything that the people had put on me that I carried, all that pain, I got tired of carrying it. So what I did was I put it down and I just threw it out there. And whatever happens to the book or whatever happens for the information, you know, that it's the creator's going to take it whatever direction. But my goal was I wanted my former students, the community, to see that through education, we can be successful. And then also, too, now I'm hoping, my biggest goal and hoping is to all of us will unite as one, because we already respect each other, our tribal ways and everything, no, but we need to come together as one. And now we know what direction to go. We got to use education. We need to educate our kids. They need to educate themselves on the treaties, what happened. Why are we going to lose our sovereignty? Are we going to lose us being human beings? Now the scary part, they want us to deport us to where? These are questions that come back to the basics. If we need to go forward, we need something like the college here. We need more voices. We need to encourage the youth to speak up. And trust me, there are youth out there that wants to embrace our culture. They want to learn. And the responsibility first is ourselves. We need to educate ourselves, learn the history. I didn't learn all this on a book. I had to learn, and it's information is hard. So hopefully the college will have all this information available to read. We can't go back. That's the sad part. We can't go back, so we got to move forward. And the only way we can move forward is learning the ways that others are learning. And we can protect our ways if we get smart. We get the head smart, then we're able to pull our people together and give back what the government had did to Indian people. And that's something that they stripped from us. We're struggling. And start encouraging each other to speak, being a chain. How many times have we heard that being, you know, you're just an Indian and will never be anything else. And that's still happening today. And if we have our eyes open, we see it in the community. It happened right in our back door. Somebody that looked like me, I was scared to come out. In my own place that I originally came from, So that's what's scary for. I'm seeing my kakoshas. I'm seeing other young minds that they need to hear this. And we got to take responsibility and stop fighting amongst each other, especially Indian people. We're going to come together and say, you know something? We're tired of this. Go out. Be lawyers. We want more lawyers. And then we also want somebody from there to represent us, to speak up for us. Because now we know, right? We're learning how the white man is doing. We know now. And if we continue not to push forward, it's on us. It's our fault. So be very conscious about how we want to pass that on. And I want to pass it on in a good way.
Well, I appreciate you, and we're about to wrap up the show, and we were talking to Donna Council and the Red Lake Nation College, and I just want to bring this up again, April 14th from 10 to 2 p.m. Donna will be speaking at 11:30. Come to the transfer fair, feature career and transfer fair. I just want to say a big peony thank you for coming on our show and for this really this inspirational talk. I believe in education. I'm a former high school teacher, and I believe in the work that you're all doing. And Donna, thank you so much for your past work with students and continued work with our people here. And I just want to say a big peeny gigi. Thank you so much, you three.
Thank you.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground, it's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote, and go to college. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Native Roots Radio, signing off.
Cruise past the hassles of selling your vehicle by donating it to KFAI. It's easy and free, and we handle all the details. Just call 855-277-2346 or donate online at kfai.careasy.org.
Programming on KFAI is supported by Quit Partner. Quitting smoking or vaping is easier said than done. Quit Partner offers Minnesotans no-cost resources to quit nicotine, including patches, gum and lozenges, coaching, and digital support. More at quitpartnermn.com.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh.
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy, or reintroduce Wendy, and she's awesome, my awesome and beautiful wife. She's been an animal advocate for many years and a co-founder of Native Roots Radio and bringing our animal, sacred animal updates. Thank you, Wendy, for coming on.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. And I'm always trying to make more humane policies go forth here in the Twin Cities and in Minnesota. So we work on that a lot. So
you do a lot, too. And
it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to do, and I enjoy it. So, I mean, I feel like I'm doing something, you know. I mean, sometimes we work on a policy for 4 years, and it's just like, oh, my God, is this thing going to go through yet? And it's just like you just got to keep at it. So,
well, before you go too further, just talk about a couple of the policies. policies. I know it was a big, like no pet stores in St. Paul that you worked on over the years, a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, we got that an ordinance in St. Paul passed. It's called the Humane Pet Store Ordinance. And that means that pet stores in St. Paul cannot sell dogs and cats that came from puppy mills. So we want to stop that pipeline from the puppy mills to the pet stores. There is a cup, there's like three stores in the state of Minnesota. And we did put forth a policy that let them just stay in business, because city council members don't want to put people out of business. I understand that. But on the other side of the coin, we need to have humane pet store ordinance throughout the whole state of Minnesota. So what we kind of put forth was, okay, let these three places stay in business. They can't change ownership. They can't move. Once they're done and retire, that's it. They're done. So I think that's a good compromise. Yeah. I mean, you got to give and take, right? You have to give and take. Yeah. We want it all, but sometimes you can't get it all, unfortunately. So you got to go to the table a couple of times. We're going to see where all this is going to, you know, come out. Also, cat declawing, right? A lot of states in the United States have banned declawing cats. It's really an inhumane practice.
Like
it's
not ripping like off your fingernails.
Well, it's the first knuckle. They cut the first knuckle off the cat. So it's not just their nail. People think it's, oh, you're just ripping out their nail. That's not what you're doing. You're cutting the actual first knuckle of them. Yeah. So we have a Humane Lobby Day. We call our legislators. We go in and sit down in their office face to face. And we talk to them about these policies that, you know, when they come across their desk, we want them to support us. So a lot of times they're very appreciative, because they say, you know, I didn't have any idea about this. So now I know when it comes across my desk, I'll know what I'm looking at. So thank you. So it really does help. So if you have something you care about, just call your legislator, your house representative, and your senator, and talk to them.
It works. And look what's happening federally with all these lines. They're finally paying the TSA workers and trying to get that together. But I regress. We want to talk some sacred animal updates.
Well, here. I was going to talk about Trump and what he's doing to end the Endangered Species Act in the Gulf of Mexico. So they're going to be doing drilling there again. And if you remember years ago, the big oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico that caused so many problems. It's not if they're going to. Yeah. Anyway, I'll talk about that another day. I'm really just not in the mood today.
I believe it.
You can look it up, though. Yeah. Gulf of Mexico endangered species. Like, this could like end species, eradicate, a certain whale that's endangered there. So some days I just don't want to talk about it.
No,
I just can't. My heart can't do it. So anyway, a friend on Facebook, Reva, she posted about, this is baby animal season, right? So we're getting ready. Even though it's supposed to snow and sleet tonight and have ice, God. And it was like 72 degrees 2 days ago. Like, this weather in April is just crazy.
Here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, April's nuts. But anyway, so they tell you certain things, you know, like if you see a little animal, a baby animal, you wonder like, oh my God, is it abandoned? Should I pick it up? Should I bring it to the rehabilitation center, the wildlife rehabilitation center? So this is a couple of things. If you see a baby rabbit alone in the grass, in a grass net nest, that's where the bunnies have their babies, like right in the grounds. Like, people could mow them over. It's like really ridiculous. But anyway, that's what nature intended for them, and that's what they do. So if you see a baby rabbit alone in a grass nest, the mother only visits that baby once or twice a day for a few minutes. At dawn or at dusk. And she stays away on purpose because her scent attracts predators. So that's why she stays away. The babies are not abandoned.
Okay.
Lay two thin sticks in an X over the nest, you know, little twigs, like put it over the nest. and check it 12 hours later. The sticks disturbed mean mom visited, right? So you could do that. But yeah, leave them alone. But me, if I didn't know that, I would be grabbing up those baby bunnies and bringing them to the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center. We have one here in Roseville. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. A fawn. If you see a baby deer, a fawn, lying alone in tall grass. The mother left it there deliberately. Fawns have almost no scent for the first week, and predators can't find them. A fawn lying still with his ears up is hiding, not hurt. The mother returns several times a day to nurse. You could contact a rehabilitator only if the fawn is walking in circles, visibly injured, or vocalizing continuously for many hours. I also heard that if their ears are up and they're flipped backwards, that it could mean that they're dehydrated. So, yeah, a baby bird on the ground. I see baby birds on the ground all the time. If it's feathered, if it has feathers on it and it's hopping and its eyes are open, their size like of, you know, roughly a tennis ball size, it's a fledgling. So just leave it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
I wanted to save it.
But sometimes the fledglings, I know they get bit by cats and stuff when people leave their cats out. But you just leave it. The parents are nearby and feeding it. If it's naked and the eyes are closed, it's a nestling that fell from the nest. Mm. So if you could reach the nest, put it back in the nest. That's an old wives' tale when it says the bird, you'll make the bird smell like your hand. The bird will reject it. No, you just put it back. The myth, I just said that, but here I'm reading it. The myth that parents reject a baby touched by human is false. Mm. If it's visibly injured, then you contact the rehabilitator. A baby squirrel. We've had baby squirrels in our yard that had
rejected by the mom.
Yes, rejected by the mom. The baby squirrel that approaches you needs help. Healthy babies don't approach humans, but squirrels will approach humans if they need help. One sitting in a tree or on the roof is just fine. So, yeah. So look up. If you see a baby animal, you're going to see some in the next, now the week's coming up. Just look it up. Google, what do I do when I see, you know, a baby? And, you know, the Googles will tell you.
The Googles, I love it. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Big Peeny Geegee to Angie Big and Wendy Pilot. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Peeny Geegee again for listening to Native Roots Radio.
The Haloosa Nation. We have been called the Indians. We have been called Native American. We have been called hostile. We have been called pagan. We have been called militant. We have been called many names. We are the Haloosa Nation. We are the human beings. The callers of names cannot see us, but we can see them.
Is there such a thing as too many ads in too many places? We think so.
Counselor, do you have an opening statement?
Your Honor, we feel that we've already made our statement. By dressing my client in a suit from Whippoorwill Fashions on the Beltline with hundreds of styles, fabrics, and colors to choose from, he's looking sporty in judicial courty.
That's why KFAI focuses on bringing you great radio rather than more ads.
Counselor, are you trying for some kind of deal?
No need, Judge, because we went to Bob's Bail Bonds. With 24/7 service and low finance terms, Bob's Bail Bonds was the best deal my client was likely to get.
Year after year, the bulk of KFAI's operating budget comes from listeners just like you.
Counselor, how does your client plead?
He pleads no contest. To the grand prize drawing at the Ace in the Hole Hotel and Casino. With live shows, a great buffet, and a swinging game room, there's no chance you won't have a great time.
So go to KFAI.org and click donate to support community-powered, non-commercial radio.
Counselor, Your Honor, my client pleads guilty.
I do?
To missing out on the amazing two-for-one sale at Marv's Pizza and Subs.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.